Welcome back to Startup Health Now. I'm Logan Plaster. I think it's fair to say that when people think of startup health, they think about entrepreneurs and founders. Over the last 12 or 13 years, we've supported more than 500 health tech startups, nearly 1,000 founders, many of whom have been featured on this show. Perhaps less well known is what happens behind the scenes at Startup Health. This episode, I wanted to pull back that curtain a little bit, particularly as it pertains to our impact board. You see, we've got this advisory team of about 17 or so amazing individuals across multiple disciplines. Folks like Toby Cosgrove, former head of the Cleveland Clinic, and Chuck Henderson, the CEO of the American Diabetes Association, Sue Siegel, the former head of GE Ventures, just to name three. You can see the whole amazing impact board at startuphealth.com/team. Recently, we brought together our impact board in real life at the Lake Nona Impact Forum in Florida. Not only did the team get to learn from luminaries like Jeff Bezos, David Feinberg, and Peter Lee, but they got to go deeper on ideas with one another. So in the spirit of encouraging a more radically collaborative impact board, we decided to flip the script a bit and have members of our board interview one another for this podcast. The hope was that this would lead to some unexpected lines of questioning and some uniquely candid moments, and they did not disappoint. The first conversation in this series is between Esther Dyson, legendary angel investor and founder of Wellville, and Roger Jansen, the Chief Innovation and Digital Health Officer at Michigan State University Healthcare. The conversation was just as wide-ranging and unstructured as I hoped it would be, but touched on some incredibly powerful topics. I hope you enjoy.
So, Roger, tell me what you're up to right now. As we sit here in lovely Lake Nona.
Well, Esther, the things that I'm focused on right now are shifting a little bit. One of the things at Michigan State University we've been made aware of is the extreme pain our employer partners are finding with healthcare costs right now. And what we've done is we've actually formed a group of employer companies around the state to come talk to us about what can we do to not just improve clinical outcomes, but if people can't afford to use the healthcare where they can actually get a clinical outcome, it's almost as if you don't have any healthcare whatsoever. And many people may not know, but this is the first year in U.S. history that people with health insurance carry the most medical debt versus those who are uninsured. And so we've hit a milestone here where people have insurance, but they're effectively underinsured. And as a result, Michigan State's taken a real role in how do we go about and tackle lowering not just healthcare costs, but how do we change the business model for delivering healthcare? Yeah. Because ultimately, that's what we need to do.
Well, part of what's going on also is we keep talking about health literacy. These people need to do the right thing, and they need to follow our directions. But the reality, I think, is the healthcare system and the clinicians need life literacy to understand the reality of people's lives.
100%.
You're not competing. 100%. It's not one drug versus another, or it's one drug versus I got to pay for the car, or I need to take my kid to school, or I can't get to the doctor. And
those are the choices they're making every day.
Right. Yep. And as one of the panels discussed this morning, the reality is probably the biggest thing AI can do is understand long-term impacts, understand the counterfactuals, investing this 50 million right now in reducing obesity or in maternal health, probably most importantly, has impacts 20 years on. And that's been shown. So one part of me says, well, people just aren't paying attention to the data. But as AI becomes more prevalent, more believable, and you can apply it locally, this notion that you can actually see the impact early.
Right.
Of the money you're spending rather than waiting 20 years for the outcomes.
Yeah, absolutely.
But someone has to pay for that, and it should be the government.
Yeah.
And they're unwilling to pay for anything more than 2 or 3 years out.
Yeah. And you add on top of it, our entire business model in healthcare is based upon illness and injury. It's not based upon keeping people healthy and well. And you have a real conundrum because, I challenged our group and said, who do we call if we want to stay healthy? Nobody knows. There's nobody to call. And so we have it backwards, I think, in this country where we're spending the dollars. We're spending $4.6 trillion in health care. We're not spending anything that I can tangibly figure out in actual health improvement or health wellness.
Maintenance.
Yeah, exactly.
So the guy, you know, this website Real Age, which is.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Charlie Silver, he sold his company to Hearst and then Sharecare. Do you know who he sold his previous company to?
No idea.
Jiffy Lube.
Oh, you're kidding me.
No.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Maintenance. Wow. He got it. And then he said, why are we fixing our cars? But I mean, why are we maintaining our cars?
Right.
And totally forgetting
our bodies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't understand that. And you've been working in this space for a long time with Wellville. What are some of the lessons that you take away that you think you could apply at scale to the problems?
Well, that's what we are hoping to do.
Yeah.
And I'm going to write a book called Don't Rent Your Community's Health from an Absentee Landlord.
I love it. The
trick is, it's not a nice white lady coming in and telling people what to do. And it's not even, it's not handing out fish. It's helping the community to build its own sustainable fishing schools.
Yeah.
People get addicted to drugs and to short-term relief, whether it's, I'm going to go buy the skirt today because it gives me more pleasure than that stupid med.
Yeah.
Community organizations get addicted to short-term grants because they have to stay alive and they have people to pay. And so not only do they become short-term oriented, they start competing with other community organizations instead of working together.
100%.
And then at the other end, the VCs and private equity get addicted not to sustainable businesses, but to exits.
Yeah.
So the challenge is we're very focused on helping them build their own community fabric versus fancy structures, whether they're big philanthropies or.
Right.
And somehow the good parts spread.
Yeah.
So do the bad parts. Try to find the ones that are successful because they will help the other ones.
Yeah. So you're really talking about putting an infrastructure in place, the old
social.
Yeah, right. Teach somebody to fish versus, you know, give them a fish.
Well, not even.
Yeah.
Again, we ask questions and help them discover their own answers.
Mm.
Because teaching people to do the right things, it's like with your kid.
Yeah.
Don't bribe them to do their homework. Help them discover the beauty of math.
Right. Right.
Tell them. Show them how to use math to do baseball scores.
Yeah.
Or when I was six, like I started counting my chicken pox.
Yeah. I have a feeling you were doing quantum physics at six, but yeah, it's
whatever.
Interesting.
So at MSU, who are you engaging with to move this forward?
We're actually working with CEOs of corporations around the state. What's interesting about this is coming. You know, I like to say MSU is the genesis of it, but it's actually the business people who have spurred us to action. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of our not to be named CEOs said, you know, I employ a company of 700 people and I'm writing the second largest check every year to healthcare that I have no input on what its costs are, no feedback on its quality, no better experience, no improved access, and no improved long-term outcomes. What am I getting for this 24% increase this year? And I think what we're dealing with in the country, that's a very, very small, you know, if you will, back to quantum example. But the reality is this is happening everywhere in the United States and no incumbents are taking on the challenge to lower the cost. What we continue to see is more consolidation, less competition in the market, less adoption of innovation. And as soon as we do that, they want to be paid like capitalist companies without playing by capitalistic rules. And you can't have it both ways. And I think that's ultimately hurting the greatest foundation in many ways our country has, which is our employer. And we can't keep putting the bill on their backs.
Well, the good news is as you're saying, is they're starting to ask, what am I getting for this? And the outcome, it's not just healthcare costs, it's healthy employees.
Yeah.
I want my people engaged, I want them productive.
Yes.
One of my favorite, tell the guys at MSU to do a study of mental health support and the population they need to study is not the people directly being supported, but the people that report to those mental, because everywhere you read, bad bosses is what drives people away. Good bosses is what makes people healthy. You have
100%.
It's like train the trainers.
Yeah. And we should do that study. We should do it internally. So, you know, I think there's always...
We'll quote you on that.
Well, I think there's always, you know, we need to look at ourselves as an employer too.
Yeah.
And not just as a provider. And I think that's part of where we sometimes forget. We have 20,000 people we take care of. And we employ, I think, with those their dependents, we have like 77,000 people that we ultimately take care of in our own, you know,
wow.
company. If we don't take a look at the own mental health of our own people, then, you know, we're probably not able to do it as well for others. So
I would imagine so.
Yeah.
And you'll be more effective at that, but you'll also be more effective at everything else you do.
Yeah. So let me ask you about Wellville. So you have this idea that Wellville is, I mean, you've launched so many incredible programs in different organizations, one in our backyard in Muskegon. What were key takeaways from, maybe I'll be selfish and say, the Muskegon or the Michigan findings?
So again, Wellville is not a launcher. We didn't, the one thing that I wanted people to do was flu vaccinations. This was before COVID. And there was no local take up.
Yep.
And, you know, because people were busy and it wasn't, the things that started working were the YMCA's diabetes prevention program, which is a really interesting story, where Trinity, formerly Mercy Health, they got a CDC grant for diabetes prevention in, I think it was six of their missions, which is their regions. And in Muskegon, they decided to give it to the YMCA. Rather than do it with expensive doctors and clinicians, they said, we want the Y to do it. They're actually reaching the community.
Yeah.
So the first thing that happened, I was talking to one of the people at the Y, and we were talking about how to get referrals from Mercy, even though Mercy had given them the program, they weren't giving them the patients. And I said, what you really need is an API for the to work in your HR. And the person said, where would we hire one?
Right.
And
right.
So I explained, you
what
know,
an API is.
Yeah. But the reality is I was mistaken.
Yeah.
Because yes, they needed the software to work and to make everything smoother. What they really actually needed was an amazing personal interlocutor between the two systems. Mm. They hired somebody from Mercy, and then suddenly she knew who to talk to at Mercy. She went and talked to the doctors and said, send us your patients, send us your pre-diabetes people. We'll take care of them. And then suddenly it started working. And
that's interesting.
When COVID happened, they went online, and now they're offering diabetes prevention through, I think it's like 16 Y's around Michigan online. And, yeah.
So like they became a node and a spoke and all that.
And proud and a success.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
So things, it's where, and at one point I asked, so what would you do if you had more money?
Right.
Other than the grant. And they said, well, we'd hire two more counselors.
Yeah.
Muskegon has 180,000 people.
Right.
What would you do if you had enough money?
Right.
And suddenly that's when, I mean, again, we were just catalysts, but it's asking those kinds of questions that make people feel their own possibility rather than, I got an assignment from somebody to do this.
To do this. Yeah, that's right. You're giving people permission to imagine what it could be versus accepting kind of their current limitations.
And you want people to realize we don't have to ask for permission.
Yeah.
You know, she has no power to give us permission because we have no contracts with them in either direction.
Yeah.
But
you're changing the belief systems.
Yes.
Yeah.
As Sekou Andrew said this morning.
Yeah.
What is it? Impossibility is a belief. Possibility is an action.
There you go. Yeah.
Or a decision.
Yeah. That's great.
That was wonderful. Physical health begins with mental health. If you need all these things, you need good food, you need an environment and so forth, but you also need simply a feeling of purpose, a feeling of connection to people, and some sense that if you do stuff, it will have an impact.
Yeah, right.
And that's what you lose when you're addicted.
Well, and there's almost a paradox that I think is happening too, right? Like there was a psychoanalyst back in the, I think his 30s and 40s, Eric Fromm, who wrote about the paradox of choice and then the paradox of technology. And I remember the whole idea that the more advanced that we become technologically, the less human we'll become, and we will
Bingo, happening now.
And therefore, we're going to get really away from what is natural to us to do, whether that's movement, whether that's socialization, whether that's coming together to, you know, worship or whatever it may be. It seems like we're kind of there. And I'm curious, how do you think we can bring a sense of humanity back into such a technologically driven, you know, environment?
Right. Well, first of all, I agree. I believe it could be impossible to make things better. Mm-hmm. And I have decided to
leverage what's there.
To take the tiny possibility that I can help change that, along with hundreds and ultimately millions of people. But, you know, if you sit and do nothing, certainly it's not going to get better. If you try and do something, you'll be part possibility. You'll be part of that possible change.
Right.
And, you know, doing this podcast is part of, hey, folks, give it a whirl. Don't just sit there. Find people and help them empower themselves.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people don't take action because they think they don't know enough, or they're not the right title, or they're not in the right position. And really, to me, this is just about being human again and reconnecting with things that we're supposed to do. You know, I'm trained as a psychologist, and I sit back and say the biggest determinant we've ever known if somebody gets better psychologically is social support.
Yeah.
It's not medication. It's not anything else. It's, do you feel like you have people who will help you?
Well, this is the movie Her, which you've seen, right? Mm-hmm. The guy falls in love with basically an AI called Samantha.
Yeah. Right.
And
which is an interesting movie.
Then he discovers that she's got 1,500 other lovers.
Right.
And it's not that she doesn't spend enough time with him. It's fundamentally a time scale difference. But what he wants is her attention.
Right.
He wants her to need him. And she doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not even, it's that being mattering to somebody.
Right.
An audience sits there, and if you're a member of the audience, you leave, nobody notices. A community, if you're not there, where's Roger?
Right. People notice.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
And if they don't, it's not a real community.
Right. No. I think that's a great point. So, yeah, I guess anybody who's listening to the podcast, I think Esther and I are encouraging you to be a part of the change and take action because we need it.
And recognize the other people around you.
Yeah. All right. Signing off. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Startup Health Now. We'll be back again with another episode next week.